Hello everyone and welcome to the very first boat briefing of 2024. My name is Stuart Campbell and here to help me navigate through all the news from the world of superyachting is a very refreshed looking Katya Damborski. Hi Katya.
Hi Stuart, how are you doing?
Very good, very good. I saw you spent your festive period down in Villefranche.
I did, yeah, in the south of France. I had a very nice relaxing time, very quiet, very Grinch-like, but good. That's why I'm looking so refreshed.
Swimming?
On Christmas Day, yes, there was a bit of swimming.
Cold, no?
It was very chilly, but it's very, you know, the air's warm, so the water's cold, and it's kind of a nice, you know, you feel invigorated afterwards.
Well, all it did was rain in the UK.
Right.
So when I saw on Instagram your nice sunny Villefranche photos, I was a little envious.
Yeah, that's kind of what I aim for. That's how I want my followers to feel.
That's the point of social media.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
Good presents?
Well, no, I was by myself, Stuart, so that was slightly limited on the presents front. Although I did get a Panettone from our lovely Italian clients. We got one from Azimut Bonetti and one from Ferretti Group.
Dolce & Gabbana.
Exactly.
Panettone from the Ferretti Group.
Yeah. They look after us, don't they?
They do. They do. Especially before... Actually, here's a bit of social media showing off, or real-time showing off, because before Christmas, Katya, myself, and one or two others from the company, we got the opportunity, thanks to the Ferretti Group, to fly out to Venice to watch none other than Elton John in concert.
Yeah, that was absolutely incredible. I think that was probably one of my best experiences at boat so far. It was very special.
Better than the Venice Boat Show?
I mean, marginally. That was great, wasn't it? He was such a good performer.
Yeah, he was. He was amazing. And he was a bit under the weather, wasn't he? He was a bit croaky. Well, not croaky. He said he had a cold.
He said he was, but I didn't really notice it when he kind of got out there and got behind the piano. He was phenomenal and just everything. I was really, really impressed with the level that Ferretti Group went to for this, because they had like David Beckham introing it, and then they had kind of a lot of like dining afterwards. They really went all out for us, so...
Yeah, so it was a spectacular few days in Venice. They really rolled out the red carpet for everyone. There must have been 800 people there.
Yeah, and what city to do it in as well. And they had the Wally there, of course, as well, making
they
its
did.
Debut.
The Wally Y 100.
Yeah, the new little sister.
So I had a little look around that the day after the concert. Nice boat, actually. I think it's the best looking one of those Wally Ys.
Yeah, well, it's smaller, so it kind of works with what they've got, which is trying to get all that volume into it, right?
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, good-looking boat. A few other good-looking boats in the latest issue of Boat International, which is the February issue, which is out this week. We're recording this on Tuesday. I think it hits the newsstands on Thursday. Arcadia's new 29-metre A96 is on the cover.
Yeah, that is a lovely-looking boat. I remember when they revealed that in a virtual press conference, so it's always nice kind of seeing it come full circle. But is it Lobanov on the design?
Yeah, Igor. They've gone to Igor Lobanov for the design. Big fan of Igor's.
Me too, yes. And this boat looks spectacular, having seen the preliminary shots. Kind of very open, right? Very, very connected to the water.
I think that, well, that's the whole point of these kind of crossover yachts and the Arcadia series. It's that creating a kind of a seamless flow inside outside water, and they do a good job with this boat, but it's still very familiar. It's still very obviously an Arcadia.
Yeah, that's it. They've managed to kind of take that hallmark and then kind of freshen it up a little bit, which is always a nice thing to see.
Also in the issue, we pose the question whether Below Deck has been a good or ill for the superyacht business. Your thoughts on that, Katya?
I tend to think that it's done more good than harm, personally, just because there's no industry that's without scandal or, you know, bad things happening in it. It just so happens that Below Deck puts it in the spotlight. It is very entertaining because it's, you know, the nature of it, people living in close quarters, catering to the ultra rich, going around the world. Like, it's kind of all the recipe for a good piece of entertainment. So,
and I think if you take that perspective, it is just a piece of entertainment.
Yeah.
I tend to agree. I don't think it's been massively damaging. I think, although having spoken to some captains who are recruiting now, they say the expectations of crew, and some of the the way it's perverted slightly, the view or the ambitions or the expectations of crew and charter guests hasn't always been great. But on the whole, I think the net benefit is that it's exposed a lot of new wealth to chartering. It's exposed the crewing industry to lots of new people.
I suppose we don't see it from the crew perspective, though. You're right. We kind of see it from the kind of outside looking in, but we don't know what it's like for the crew industry as much. But what about this Hot Yachts Miami? That's kind of the spin-off, right?
Which not really
a spin-off. But.
Yeah. I mean, it's a bit... So it focuses on the brokerage community, I think, in Miami. Obviously Miami. Hence the title. But the... we've talked about it on the podcast before. I mean, it's bottom rung TV, Hot Yachts Miami.
Is it?
Yeah. It's actually not about boats. It's about
people.
It's about people
drama.
And the drama and people being awful to each other, basically.
Right. So where does Below Deck sit on that scale then, if Hot Yachts at the bottom?
I think mid tier.
Right, okay. Interesting. Says a lot about Hot Yachts Miami.
But the problem with all these shows is they're quite compulsive, aren't they?
Yeah.
They last about 22 minutes, and then by the time you're not allowed to change your mind to turn them off, because the streaming platform gets you onto the next one too quickly. So even if you leave the room for 5 minutes, the next one's already playing. Anyway, it's a real problem. I don't have it so much with it. I endured Hot Yachts Miami for a few episodes, and then my patience was exhausted. But I did watch a couple of seasons of The Sailing Yacht Below Deck.
Yeah, I like that one.
Yeah.
We've had him on the podcast, Captain Glenn.
Yeah, Captain Glenn. I met him in St. Bart's. He's a really nice guy.
He's really great.
And he is the full-time captain.
Yes,
the proper captain on Parsifal 3. So, yeah, he's a lovely bloke. So, I don't have a massive position against Below Deck, but I know some people in the industry do.
Yeah, well, they should read our latest article.
They should, yeah. It's quite a good examination of, its cause and effect 10 years after its debut.
10 years?
10 years.
God.
Yeah, I know. That's flown by.
It has.
I remember when it first came out, everyone was like, throwing their arms in the air.
I'm sure.
Chaos in the super yacht industry. This TV show about crewing. We also have a big feature about HVO, which stands for hydro-treated vegetable oil. That's in the issue. I think we've mentioned that in a previous podcast. So HVO has the potential to dramatically reduce the super yacht fleet's emissions. And a few yachts have been quite early adopters of it. Lamouche, the 44-metre San Lorenzo, Obsidian, the new Fed ship, and there are various others trying it. Azimuth Benetti, we mentioned in the Global Order book, is doing a lot of its sea trials and deliveries using HVO. I really urge you to read the feature. I can't speak enough about it, really, because it can be mixed with the diesel already in your tanks. It doesn't require any special modifications. And it's smokeless and odourless.
Exactly, yeah. And as soon as it becomes more popular, it'll become more widespread. So kind of the drawback now is that it's hard to get hold of. But as soon as everyone wants to get their hands on it, it'll be everywhere, right?
Yeah, I hope so. The supply chain's often the problem with these new technologies. So hopefully that can be sorted out fairly soon.
And this is the 1224 special, right?
Yeah, so each year we have a little look at boats below 24 metres. It's just a bit of, it's a great opportunity. Everyone, so many owners of big boats also have the smaller boat too. So this is a good opportunity to see what's happening in that part of the market. And we test some very cool boats. The new Sunseeker Superhawk 55, awesome looking boat. The Azimuth Verve 48, which is kind of Italy's answer to the center console. The drop dead gorgeous Wire 44. I mean, Wire.
Yeah, I'm just looking at the list. We've got so many good-looking boats on here. Because you've also got the Swan Overshadow, which we saw in Action Venice, absolutely eating up, like, don't know her top speed, but she was really tearing along, looking absolutely gorgeous. Yeah, we had a little gorgeous. Ride, didn't
we?
I didn't.
Oh, no, we didn't. So we saw her.
We saw her from the Wally.
The Wally, yeah, that's right.
Yeah. And the Zealander 5, I'm actually not, is that, what kind of boat is that? Is that a kind of sporty, classic Zealander, or?
It's just a curvy, kind of lobstery, boaty, kind of gorgeous, cruising weekender.
Right.
Zealanders are built to superyacht standards. I mean, they are beautifully put together boats, and they are also drop dead gorgeous. Galleons 450 HTC is in there, rather, and the Fairline Phantom 65, just a classic flybridge cruising boat.
Yeah, that's a nice boat.
Great British shipyard. So plenty of good stuff in the February issue of Boat International. So pick it up or await its thump on your doormat when it arrives. We should really pay tribute to to someone now who very, very sadly passed. A legend in the superyacht industry, it's absolutely fair to say, and that is, of course, Fritz de Voigt, who died just before Christmas on 20th of December. Great designer, great naval architect, former director of FedShip. And so many of the FedShips I salivate over regularly on this podcast were designed by Fritz. 62-metre Virginian Emerald, the 50-metre, which we featured recently, because it's been underwent a big refit. So he really defined that kind of classic, stately FedShip look.
Mm-hmm.
And his boats are much sought after today. And there's a whole subculture of these classic FedShip fanatics. And I definitely count myself in their number. So on his passing, FedShip said, even after his retirement, he remained involved and interested in yacht building, always astute and always modest. The shipyard went on, Fritz was a mentor of the current leaders of FedShip. We bow deeply to this cheerful, friendly, and sometimes strict giant.
Did you meet Fritz?
Yeah, I did. I met him, I think actually for the first time in 2016, because he was awarded a Lifetime Achievement Award at the Showboats Design Awards, which are now, of course, the Boat International Design and Innovation Awards. And Marilyn Mower wrote a lovely tribute to him. So if you'll bear with me, I thought I'd just read Marilyn's tribute because it sums up this great man very, very well. And she read it out just before he climbed the stage and was given a standing ovation at the ceremony. So Marilyn wrote back in 2016, there was little doubt that Fritz de Voigt would be involved with boats. He is, after all, a Dutchman. But the fact that his father, Henry de Voigt, was a naval architect set him on his path. The fact that he was the first secretary of a fledgling venture called FedShip made the critical difference to his son and to yachting. Fritz studied at Delft with the idea of designing great ships. In fact, the common feeling around Delft was that yachts were silly things. He took engineering seriously and was not interested in the small steel cruisers his father began drawing in the late 1940s. I thought I was getting away from all of that to do big, important ships, he said. Then my father became ill and busy. He insisted I come home at the end of my studies to help him. That turned out okay, he said with his characteristic dry understatement. Even though Fritz had been a member of the 1952 Dutch Olympic rowing team, he had to earn his stripes in the design office year by year. The first yacht he points to as being truly his own was the 1960 Camargo 5. That 116-footer was a nice one, he said. That's when boats were getting bigger and we could put things in that people wanted, like stabilizers or air conditioning. We got the idea to start making our own equipment, he said. Putting gensets on FedShips freed up space, and with that came de Voigt's research into reduction of noise, vibration and soot, and development of desalination and sewage treatment plants. FedShip had started with the idea of impressing American boat buyers with Dutch quality, and Fritz would take that to new levels, pushing for the intangible aura of quality that set the product apart. Once, while interviewing him about a new yacht, this is a great line, I asked if it was built to Lloyd's. The already very tall de Voigt squared his shoulders, He seemed to have gained another foot, and his impossibly bushy eyebrows were aimed like darts. "We build to Fedship standard," he boomed. The characteristic look of unbroken sheer, graceful flared bow and balanced profile are one thing, but for its uniquely combined design with creating the dream that sold the yachts. Henk de Vries believes Frits de Voigt made modern-day Fedship possible. He was the glue that managed the individuals and the decisions he made for the good of all, said Henk. Frits shrugged off such notions by talking teamwork. "We were three families, but we were one. We were of the same mind. You have to work, but hard work is especially fun. I was simply a developer and refiner of possibilities."
Oh, that's really nice.
Isn't that nice?
That's lovely.
Lovely words from Marilyn Moa back in 2016. In tribute to the great man, Frits de Voigt.
Funny that, what was your line about the yachts were silly things back at Delft?
Yeah, yeah. Well, yeah, his dad was designing silly things, he
right.
thought, and he wanted to build massive container ships, I suppose, cargo ships and maybe even military vessels, I don't know, but then got sucked into the world of yachting and changed the game. I mean, as game-changing, I mean, he's up there with Bannenberg, really.
Yeah, yeah. Definitely.
As a designer, naval architecture legend.
Yeah.
So we were very sad to hear of Fritz's passing just before Christmas, and our thoughts obviously with the whole Fedship family.
Yeah, of course.
We'll be seeing some of the Fedship family, won't we, in a couple of weeks at the Superyacht Design Festival.
We will, yes.
So why don't we have a little look ahead at 2024 and pick out some key dates for your diaries. And the first one, I suppose, is the Superyacht Design Festival. So from the 28th to the 30th of January, it's all kicking off in Kitzbühel.
Yep, we'll be down in Austria for the Design Innovation Awards, the Young Designer of the Year Award, and the inaugural Boat Artistry and Craft Awards, the Backer Awards, obviously as part of the Design Festival, which will contain many panels, many presentations, fantastic social program, and also the Ski Cup and Après Ski, which is in association with Lursen.
Yeah, it's a great, great excuse. The Superyacht industry uses this event as an excuse to go skiing.
Absolutely,
basically.
Yeah. Have a jolly on the mountain.
So a lot of people go up there 3 or 4 days earlier and spend a couple of days skiing, and then we entertain them royally with some great content and a few nice parties. It's a brilliant event, and I look forward to seeing many of you there. Great speakers. We just confirmed Frederick Jusset, the owner of Art Explorer.
Oh,
he'll be
brilliant.
Coming to speak on the first day, closing the show on the first day, and there's loads of other great stuff, so head to the website to have a look for yourself.
Yep. Just before that, actually, we've got Boot Dusseldorf, which is happening for between the 20th of Jan and 28th of Jan. God, that's a long old.
That's got to be one of the longest boat shows left. Most have shortened.
It's true, yeah.
Is that 2 weekends? That's a long boat show.
Yeah, I think it's 2 weekends. You're right. Are you going?
I might go for 24 hours.
Right, yeah, okay.
I'm looking at some flights now. There's a few people I want to see.
Okay, cool. So the most important day of the show will obviously be the day that Stuart's there. After that, we've got Miami, which is kind of middle of February, 14th to the 18th. That will have over 1,000 boats on the water. That's a huge, huge event.
I've never, ever been to the Miami Boat Show.
Neither have I.
Yeah. So
that's shocking for you. Do you want to make this you first?
No, I think there's so much travelling coming up for me. I could do without another trip. But the... But Cecile from the editor of Boat US will be there. Adam from the social media team will be there. So we'll be bringing you some live coverage of the Miami Boat Show. That's from the 14th to the 18th of February. Then your favourite, or one of your favourites.
Yep, that was the first boat show I did. And I arrived in the office at Boat International my first day. I was pulled into the kitchen by Stuart and asked, "Do you want to go to the Dubai Boat Show tomorrow?" in about 12 hours. And I had no choice but to say, yeah, okay. So the next day I was on a plane, and my third day at Boat International, I was at the show representing BI.
It's pretty good though, isn't it?
Yeah, it was good. And you know what, it's a fun show. It's kind of, I put a lot of focus on innovations and toys and that kind of stuff, which is nice. You get to see the yachts, but also kind of the lifestyle side of things as well.
It'd just be nice to see a few more bigger...
Secondhand as well.
Yeah. Some newer and some bigger second-hand boats at the Dubai Boat Show. To be fair, I haven't been there for a few years. So, so I'm not quite sure what they've got lined up this year. Mm. What struck me about the Dubai Boat Show, well, I like it's the late start.
Yes, that is brilliant,
isn't
it?
That's great. Like the Singapore show, starts late and goes late, which is fun. And then, despite the lack of inventory, there seems to be an awful lot of big wigs there.
Yeah. And there's a lot of buzz around it as well.
It's quite a lot of buzz.
Yeah. It's true. It's a good one. But not quite as buzzy as Palm Beach, I don't think, which is next on the calendar, 21st to 24th of March.
Yeah. And really annoyingly, this year, so the St. Bart's Bucket runs from 21st to 24th of March, and the Palm Beach Boat Show runs from the 21st to 24th of March. Not very joined up, that, was it?
No.
Which is unfortunate because it means we have to divide and conquer slightly. So I'm not going to go to the Palm Beach Boat Show for the first time in a long time this year. My attentions will be focused on the bucket down in St. Bart's.
Hard life, eh?
Yeah, yeah.
Racing along on a... What boat will you be on this year?
I'm not sure yet. I've got to start sucking up to people.
Yeah.
over the next month.
If you get a WhatsApp from Stuart and you happen to be tending the bucket, you may know why.
But the Palm Beach Boat Show is a brilliant, brilliant event. Everyone always seems to be very complimentary about it.
Yeah, they do. I mean, they do a good job. Again, I haven't been, but they've got a good inventory of boats, new boats, and kind of well-presented brokerage boats, kind of newer second-hand boats for sale and charter. So.
Yeah, absolutely. And we'll have a couple of events there. We'll do an owner's club event there. Yes. And a captain's club.
Yeah, absolutely.
Party there, which will be lots of fun. Then attention shifts back to Venice.
Yeah. So World Superyacht Awards, 3rd to 4th of May, held in association with Aquara Club. That'll be a great event, won't it?
Yeah, it will be spectacular.
Our Elton John...
We might not get Elton.
No. But that experience has reminded me why Venice is such a great city. Like, it really is such a good place for something like this as well. You know, if you feel very inspired when you're in Venice, you feel very, like, you want to whip out a sketchbook and start designing something.
And, it'll be gorgeous. And the weather will be lovely in May.
Yep. And the Venice Boat Show after that.
Venice Boat Show happens after that. That's May 29th to June the 2nd. So, the Venice Boat Show... has potential. I'm not sure it's been quite realised yet. But you're a big fan, aren't you?
I like the Venice Boat Show. I like all the small Italian boat shows. I think they're great fun because there's so much less pressure and you can actually see boats in a much more relaxed way. You don't have to do appointments. You can just kind of stroll on and have a bit more of a... They're good, you know, relationship building shows. They're really, really good for that. You spend a lot of time around drinking coffee and talking about... non-boating things.
Yeah, you're absolutely right. And then there's a bit of a lull during the height of summer, and then we're back at the Cannes Yachting Festival from the 10th to the 15th of September.
After that, we actually have Genoa and then Monaco. And one lucky or unlucky person will have the job of doing all three of those, potentially.
That'll be you, then.
That was me the last 2 years, yeah.
That's right, Genoa sandwiched between Cannes and Monaco. Monaco takes place from the 25th to 28th of September this year. And then we go back across the pond to the Fort Lauderdale show from the 30th of October to the 3rd of November.
Busy year ahead.
Well, it is going to be a crazy year. So I was looking through, we had a meeting the other day about the Boat International events calendar this year. So I think we did 44 events in 2023.
Wow.
And I think we're going to do more in 2024. It is going to be utterly relentless. I'm actually looking forward to... So my March is going to be interesting because I'm going down to... there's an event called the Superyacht Gathering happening in Auckland on the 14th and 15th of March, I think. And that's organised by our old friend Linda Berry. And so she's asked me if I would go down there and help her out with that event and kind of MC the day. So I'm very happy to say that flights are booked. I'll be down in Auckland to MC the Superyacht Gathering. Just before that, I'll be in Australia, in Sydney. There's an event we've partnered with called the Superyacht Soiree with Superyacht Australia and David Gooden. all those guys down there. So I'm excited to see what that's like, because I've never been to that event before. And then it's over to St Bart's for the bucket. So it's going to be, March is going to be crazy. I'm already building brownie points with the family.
Yeah.
Each year my wife buys a big wall calendar and marks an aggressive black, puts aggressive black marks on all the days I'm away. And
March is completely black.
March is just completely
nice,
black.
Nice.
Yeah. Yeah, I'll have to come back with some nice presents from that one.
You will. I think more than presents.
More than presents. Yeah. Yeah. Let's do brokerage picks. So what have you gone for this week? So just as a reminder, dear listeners, each week we're tasked with scouring the brokerage market, finding a boat that we like the look of, and hopefully seeing if it sells before the other one.
I think, yeah, okay. Is that what it is?
Yeah.
No, it's not.
But no one's ever tracked it very well.
No, that's seriously what it is. Whose boat sells first?
Because it's logical that the boat you think is most appealing.
But mine didn't come onto the market. Mine only just had a price drop, so it's already been on the market a while.
Okay.
Is that allowed?
Yeah, it's allowed.
Okay. Well, it's a classic Fed ship and it's Valeria, but it's actually a rebuild project. And this is the former LAC 2, if you've been paying attention. So she's currently up for grabs and she's now being sold as is through TWW, and she is asking just 9 million euros because she's basically a shell. And
yeah, she's in a lot of work to be done.
Well, the cost is around 3 mil, so yes, a lot of work to be done, but you can put your stamp on it. She's ready to go, do you know what I mean? Like, the cabins are empty, ready for someone to come in and with a vision, you know?
So it just needs an interior installed, is that what they're saying? Okay.
Yeah, I think that's about right. She's at Bulk Shipyard. So she's thought to be the first private yacht to have a certified helicopter landing pad. And back in the day, you actually used to be able to shoot clay pigeons from her decks. And I know that because TWW kindly sent me the brochure from back in the day, from like the 1980s. And you used to be able to do so much if you were lucky enough to charter her. So I have a quiz for you, Stuart.
Yep.
Which of these things did LAC 2 not have on board in the 1980s? Is it a library of 30 VHS tapes?
Do you know what a VHS tape is?
Of course I know what a VHS... I like that you think that I'm that young, though. An air mattress... I don't know what this is, actually. An air mattress with transparent window for underwater viewing.
Right.
Or an ice cream maker.
So it had two of those things, but not one of those things.
Yeah.
An ice cream maker.
Yeah, that's right. But you did, in the brochure, it's very clear, you could have freshly made ice cream whenever you wanted, but they didn't mention an ice cream maker. I think they were hand churning.
A whole library of a whole 30 VHS tapes.
Yeah, how many more do you need, Stuart?
God, rewinding those was a pain.
Yeah. It was actually great. You should look at the brochure. It's so of its time.
I'd like to see that. Can you send it to me?
Yeah, it was like a beauty salon and really crazily decorated interior staterooms, like a big mural, like very, very maximalist interior. So very cool. What's your pick?
So I've gone big.
You've also gone, is it not much, sorry, since you clarified the rules of this at the start, it's meant to be in the last week, right?
No, just recent. Recent brokerage. It could be a price drop, or it could be a new listing, or a CA change, or something like that.
All right. Well, dear listener, this boat was listed at the middle of December, so...
That's all right. Okay, that's fairly recent.
Okay.
Fine. Given, obviously, the break.
Right, okay. Go on then.
Totally legitimate within the rules.
Sure.
This is the legendary 101.2-metre Atessa 4, which has joined the market with Merle Wood. She is asking a mere 149.5 million euros... So you can get you can buy 16 of your Valerias for one Atessa 4.
Right, okay. Good maths.
So would you rather have 16 Valerias or one Atessa 4?
16 Valerias. I reckon I could flip them and turn a profit.
Fair enough. I'll just take the big one, thanks. She's famously owned by Dennis Washington, of course, but that's not why I've chosen her. Actually, the main reason I've chosen her is because we wrote a big story about this boat back in 2012. I think Marilyn wrote
it. Exactly, yeah, it was Marilyn.
And it, over the years, has delivered insane traffic numbers. to the website. So month after month, year after year, we used to think, obviously, as a responsible digital publisher, you always analyze and track page views, time on page, incoming, outgoing sessions, all that kind of stuff with your web traffic. And Atessa 4 just absolutely delivered. And we could never quite figure out why. Obviously, it's a sensational boat. It's a massive boat and it was a great story. But month after month after month, this boat story just delivered great numbers. So this is a small way of saying thank you.
Thank you to the readers for being so interested in Atessa 4. But she is interesting. I mean, she was completely rebuilt, right? She had this very commercial look beforehand, and then he completely, Dennis Washington completely came in and changed it up, right?
Yep, Greg Marshall got his hands on it and then super yachted it. So it all happened in Vancouver, and the rebuild was completed in 2010. And the year after, she got the best rebuilt yacht gong in the World Super Yacht Awards as a result. But yeah, sleek, flowing, sinuous, lovely looking boat, and a monster for her time, you know, huge boat. And then, and obviously of just enormous residual interest to people out there because they keep finding the story on our website.
Yeah.
And amongst her many novel features is bulletproof glass and a Kevlar lined hull, in case you're thinking of cruising where people are shooting at you. She has a range of 7,000 nautical miles and a cruising speed of 18 knots, so plenty in the tanks for some proper long-legged adventuring. She's currently lying in Cabo, Mexico, awaiting her new owner. So it's up to you, 16 Valerias or one Atessa 4.
Well, now you explain the rules of this a bit more, I think this will sell. I think she'll sell. I mean, she might not sell quickly because it's quite a lot of money, but I think she, she's going to be a popular boat, right?
Once people find out how interested everyone is in the boat, surely, she'll get snapped up.
Sure.
So since we're on the subject of brokerage and it's the first podcast of the year, we have to cast our minds forward, gaze into the crystal ball, and guesstimate what we think the brokerage, the final total brokerage boat sold in 2024 will be. Just as a reminder, in 2018 there were 437 brokerage sales, in 2019 there were 414, in 2020 there were 432. Everyone went mad in 2021, and there were 751 brokerage sales.
That is absolutely crazy.
It just kind of disrupts the whole... The chart's quite neat, and then just this anomalous mad spike in 2021. 2022 ended up with 550 sales, and 2023 will end up around 400. The final figure always takes a few weeks to figure out, because sales were completed before the close of the year, we hear about them after the close of the year, so it'll be around 400. So given that context, Katya Damborski, aka the yacht writer, what is your prediction?
Well, I made my prediction before I saw the figures from years past, but I was going to go with, so we think 400 this year, I think 370 this year, so keeping it realistic, maybe a touch cautious and a little bit under this year or last year's figure. But I feel like you're actually the oracle for this, so whatever you say will probably come to pass. So maybe go for like 700 or something and it will just happen.
752.
Yeah.
I have got it right every time.
Yeah, you have.
So I'm going to be a bit more bullish. 370 is quite bearish, I think. I'm going to be a bit more bullish. I'm going to say around 410. I'm going to say 410 to 415. So around the same as this year, but a tiny, tiny, tiny... Sorry, around the same as last year, but a tiny, tiny bit better.
A tiny bit better? Okay.
I think there's still the head... Obviously, we're all aware of the various headwinds and geopolitical issues, but I think... I know we don't do ranges. I can't say 400 to 415, can I?
No.
I'm going to say 415.
Okay, I think 410 to 415 is fine.
Yeah.
415.
Okay. I'll do a small range of 5.
Maybe I should up mine. Is mine set in stone? No, I'm going 370.
You're going to go 370? Okay. Yeah. 410 to 415 versus 370. And we'll get Charlotte's next week. There you go. We'll refer back at the close of 2024. We're popping that champagne
cork. I hope you're right. I hope you've got it right.
Yeah, I hope I'm right too. For lots of reasons. Alrighty, let's talk through some headlines. The first story is about Ocean Co's new Simply Custom collection.
Yep. Were you there in Fort Lauderdale when they unveiled this for the first time?
I was there, but not at that particular press conference.
Right. It's really, really novel and interesting, I think, what they've done.
So basically what they've done is they've asked Lateral Naval Architects, that amazing naval architecture studio based in the UK, led by James Roy. So they've created a technical platform, an 80-metre technical platform. And Ocean Co have invited 17 design studios to imagine a super yacht that could sit on this technical platform. And one of the first ones we've had a really close look at is Clarity. So that's why this is in the news. And it's designed by Espen Oino. It's one of the very first iterations of the Simply Custom collection. And like Katya said, the whole Simply Custom concept was presented at FLIBS last year. And at the time, Ocean Co's group marketing director, Paris Balumis, said the 80-metre sector is our bread and butter. So it's been a huge design feat, really, to get all 17 design studios to come up with these, you know, complete design packages.
Yes, and also to have them look so distinctly different. Like, they really, you can really see the character of all the different designers when they're side by side. I think that's great. And also the way that they've approached, you know, the interior design is the same. These interior designers will come up with not even a concept, but like a theme, and then it's meant to be customized, right? So you find the designer that works for your taste, and then they will come up with a bespoke solution for you. So it's an interesting way of building and designing.
Yeah, it's great. It's like pick and mix, isn't it?
Yeah.
To see them all together, and you know, obviously some studios have a tell or a style, and you can pretty much tell often whose is whose. But, you know, there's big followings for each of these design studios. But it's great being able to say, oh, I love that one.
Yeah, absolutely.
But you can see a bit more about that. Espen Oino's first, his idea of what this 80-metre could look like. It's called Clarity. The story's on the website now, and you can read a bit more about the whole Simply Custom concept on the website too. What's next, Katya?
I thought we'd talk about Hayes 2, which, yeah, I know you're excited about.
I'm very excited about Hayes 2.
So this is an in-build 30-metre from CDM, Cantiere del Marche. And Lawson Robb has done the interiors of this boat, and they've just released the first renderings of it. So she's scheduled for delivery in 2025, and she is a successor of the first Hayes, which was owned by British entrepreneur Steve Rigby, and that was delivered by Extra in 2020. So you are familiar with that boat. We did an owner's club profile with it. Maybe it was Sophia though who wrote that.
Yeah, Sophia interviewed Steve, and Steve has subsequently joined the World Super Yacht Awards judging panel. So it's great to have his voice in the room when we're judging. So this boat's really nice. So he owns Lawson Robb, helpfully. So,
oh, really? Yeah.
And so he's quite excited about Hayes 2. And it's a beautiful, the rendering's stunning.
Yeah, so speaking to Boat International, Lawson's director and creative lead, George Wolstenholme, described the owner's previous yacht as more of a fair-weather craft, and now he's expanded and sunk his teeth into something that can take him further afield. Obviously, those CDMs are a bit more, packing a bit more punch in terms of Explorer capacities.
Yeah, and the way Steve, because Steve actually came to the Explorer Yacht Summit in November at the Monaco Yacht Club last year, because we did a panel about pocket explorers. So I thought it'd be fun for him to come and talk about this 30-metre Darwin series boat. But it's a softened Darwin series.
That's,
it's a
bit right.
More, yeah. It's not quite as, you know, hard-edged as some of those other Darwins. But still packs all that Explorer punch, and it still looks very much like an Explorer.
It's Hydrotech, isn't it, that did the exterior. But they were saying they kind of modified it a little bit for Mr. Rigby.
Yeah. Yeah, so he's had a lot of say. Mm. In the conception of this boat. So very exciting. Hayes 2 will be coming out in 2025, next year.
Yep.
And what's up last? What have we got?
So, did you hear about San Lorenzo and Nauta Swan? They've taken this first step towards a partnership, and it happened right before Christmas, so I feel like people
were I did miss it the first time, actually.
Point. Yeah. So, San Lorenzo Spa and Sawa, which owns Finnish yacht builder Nauta Swan Group, have signed a Memorandum of Understanding, an MOU, establishing an exclusivity period to evaluate possible joint strategic opportunities. So Massimo Perotti said the combination of these brands within the same group would create a unique maison of motor and sail yachts at the top end of the nautical competitive landscape, which he's right, absolutely. I mean, they've got Blue Game in the portfolio already. If they then had a sailing yacht builder, I think that would be a great move.
They're not the most obvious bedfellows, are they?
No.
Swan and San Lorenzo.
But then Swan has got quite a lot of Italian...
it's a Ferragamo.
Exactly, brand. That's it. Yeah.
So for that reason, you know, these two big Italian bosses at the head of both shipyards, Perotti and Ferragamo. So I get it, but the but I didn't see this coming at all.
Yeah.
But it speaks to a. I mean, I think we're going to see a bit more of this kind of consolidation, and group making activity in the superyacht industry over the next couple of years as efficiencies are sought. In yacht building, and you know, Max Perotti has created a behemoth in San Lorenzo and done a spectacular job of building that brand. So, who am I to say? he's the businessman. I'm not. So I'm sure he's got some great plans and some great ideas for this potential JV. Moving on, let's talk data, which, as ever, is brought to you by Boat Pro, the superyacht industry's leading market intelligence service. And this week, we thought we'd look at some butts over New Year's. I don't know if you saw the photos.
I did, every year.
The St. Barts parking lot.
Yeah, every year I'm astounded by how many yachts can fit into that small anchorage. And if it's an enjoyable experience to be so kind of rammed in there. But I guess you'd be... have the same feeling in a port, right? I guess you've got at least a bit more space in the anchorage.
I think you got to do it once, no?
Yeah.
It's funny because I talk to some owners and they say, well, you couldn't drag me to St. Barts for New Year's.
Really?
And others who absolutely adore it.
Under what grounds could they not be dragged?
Well, just the thought of being in an anchorage with, you know, 150 other boats and tenders buzzing around, the noise.
The swell, probably.
The swell, and yeah.
Have you ever done it on a boat?
And not New Year's in St. Barts, no. So waiting for that invite. But it was busy. It was really busy. And lots of people on social media put the AIS screenshot on their profiles.
Yeah.
And it was just an absolute parking lot. So we can tell you that there were 142 superyachts in St. Barts for New Year's Eve. And that was down a bit on last year when there were 152 yachts in town. But up massively on 2021 and 2022, which were obviously COVID affected. So the average length of superyachts celebrating New Year's in St. Barts was 56.1 metres, so well above the total fleet average. So all the big boys in town were dragging up the average LOA. There were 31 superyachts over 70 metres and just 30 in the 24 to 40 metre range. So proving that St. Barts really is land of the giants. Rising Sun, 138 metre Lursen, was the biggest celebrant, followed by another Lursen, 115 metre Arpo. The newish Fedship Moonrise was next biggest at 99.95 metres. Abiona, the new 75 metre Darman yachting support vessel, is one of the newest boats in town for New Year's Eve. She is, of course, the support vessel to Jeff Bezos's massive 127 metre sailing yacht Koru. We didn't pick her up on AIS in the area, but she might have been nearby. Of those 142 superyachts in St. Barts, 127 were motor yachts and 15 were sail. So actually, before we started recording, I had another quick look at Boat Pro's fleet tracker to see who's still around. So Rising Sun is still there in St. Barts, alongside 107 metre Cleven built Andromeda has turned up. 88.5 metre Olivia O is there, which was also built in Norway. And the 88 metre Lursen Fountainhead is in the anchorage as well. So big boys are keeping the party going down there in St. Bart's.
Yeah, I mean, Rising Sun and Livia O are always kind of hanging out there and keeping the festivities alive, aren't they?
They are, they are. Well, I hope they're having a great time.
Yeah.
And that's it for this week. Thank you, Katya.
Thank you, Stuart.
For all of you in St. Bart's, topping up your tans, I hope you're having a great time. And thank you for listening. This, as ever, has been mixed by the wonderful team of Naomi Wilson and Adam Geist, and is a production of Boat International Media. Don't forget to like and subscribe, and we'll see you next time.